I'll be here from, just a heads up, well, I'll be here for that class, so it's, they're going to have, like, that talk, right, between 2 and 3?
Yep.
So, right after that class, I'll be around, like, after 12:30, I think it would have, no, 1:30, it ends at 1:30. And then after that, I'm going to be working from 3 to 5, whenever that thing ends, essentially, till, like, 2 hours after. So, and I'll just come back here.
The forensics thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to let you know.
Go and I've that. Got another meeting. I'm available probably from 3 to 3:30.
Yeah.
And then I have another meeting from 3:30 to 5 or 5:30.
I'll be here on Friday, by the way, in the morning.
Okay, good.
I'll be here.
Good. So. Okay, Tom, what is somebody else? What are you doing Friday morning?
I have accounting.
You have accounting, that's
eight
right.
To 8 to noon. Oh, you should join me.
It's a blast.
That's quite all right.
My teacher is really...
The recorder's on, folks.
she's really nice. She's really awesome.
She's so tired.
Okay. So, back to procedures. We looked very briefly at the internal procedure, and as I mentioned when we looked at it, basically the difference is, okay? The difference is that when I put it inside, I don't use the create or replace. Okay? If I am making it as a separate entity that I'm saving separately, I use the create or replace. But when I am including it inside, then I don't. I just give the procedure a name. And as I said, I like the end. Putting the name on the procedure at the end is totally optional. I kind of like it because it lays it out when I make it internal, and so I can, you know, definitely see where things are. And I also indent when I do that, just to make it stand out a little bit more. So basically what I've got there is I've got an internal procedure, and as I said last time, I tend to do it this way, and then if I want it to be external, I take it after it's working to make it external. But it's a lot easier to test when I have it internal. Okay, so what I've got there is I come in, I declare my variables that I'm going to use, and I also declare my procedure. I set up my procedure in the declare. And then I say begin, and I said if V cond amount is greater than 20, go do the procedure, and this is what I'm sending to the procedure. And so I send the stuff up, the procedure takes it in and does an insert, and I've now added a record. And we discovered last time when I tested, I think, this particular one, or I tested the external one that did this, that make sure if you want it to actually add that you've got a cond amount greater than 20, because I did it with 15, and it didn't add, and it surprised me for a moment because I didn't remember that I'd said greater than 20. Okay, so it goes in and it adds it. So this time I put in the things you can see and I added the record and the record got added. Okay, so that's an internal procedure. I can go ahead and do calculations, so I added a calculation in on this example just to do one. And did I do anything else different? Not really. Okay. I just played around with variations on it. Okay, so the difference between, now I'm going to go back up one and say introduction to functions. Okay, the difference between a procedure and a function is a procedure is much more like a little subprogram that I can send things to and do calculations and get things, plural, back. But with a function, I get one thing back. I get a return. And that's true in all languages. A function tends to be something where you do something and it returns one thing. It can be very complex, but it's returning one thing. So if you look at this introduction to functions, okay, I started out and I said, edit function calc 1. Okay, and then I wrote this. And again, now I have the creator replaced. And I gave the function a name, function call 1. On the end, you don't have to have the name there. I just did it. So I have a function. Okay, so I set up the function, and it has things that I declare in at the top, and it has things that I'm doing. So let's look down at the program below. Okay? And the program below, I have set server output on. I declare a VID number, which I am going to take in, and I declare a VNew goal, which is going to be the result of the function. So I come down here and I am basically saying, okay, VNewGoal is going to be equal to whatever the function returns. Okay, it's going to be equal to whatever the function returns. So I am saying, go do the function calculate one, send it VID number. Okay, and it gets VID number. And it does the calculation with it. And then it continues and returns that. Okay, so when I return it, I send it up to the function. When it says return, it comes back and becomes VNewGoal. So whatever I'm returning becomes VNewGoal. And then all I did was prove it by putting out a DBMS that showed me what it was. Okay, but the main thing there is I've got a function and I'm sending VID number to it. Okay. Now, return number is really V return donation. That V contamount really kind of doesn't belong there. Because it's not clear that its return number is, but it works just fine. But that could be above and then say the return number is V return donation. I don't quite know why I did it that way, but probably just because I wasn't paying attention or something. But I left it that way to kind of show that it can be done that way, yeah.
Would you just make a declare above it or something like that instead? Like a new declare?
No, you just would put it right above it. It should be right above, and I'm trying to see if I did anything. No, I kept them out.
Not parentheses or in parentheses?
Out of the parentheses. The parentheses are the things that are being sent to it. Okay. So, all right, what I have here is if I want to bring up SQL plus, and it's T. Okay, so I first got, this is my PLSQL. And I call that calculate function calculate. So if I come in here and say edit calc function calc. Okay. And I don't have it, so I'm going to create it, so I'm putting that in there. Okay, and new donation, I'm not sure we have new donation one. So file save, file exit, and I'm going to say create table new donation 1 as select asterisk from new donation. I'm guessing that it's a copy of new donation. Okay. Already exists. DESC new donation 1 apparently already exists for me. Yeah, it does. Okay. Yep, we created a new donation on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I missed that. So we created new donation on Tuesday. And it simply has ID number, drive number, contribution date, and contribution amount. Okay. So that's the table if you want to create it. Okay, and I created edit calculate function. And now I'm going to create edit function calc 1. And it is going to be this. Okay, so now I need to compile the function and function created. So again, whenever it is external, you need to compile it. Okay, so when I say @functioncalc1, that is creating, and I get that function created back. So once I copied this and I pasted it in, now I want to create it, so I do an @. Okay, so I have the edit all done, and now I'm doing the @. Okay, @ function calc 1, and function is created. So now if I run @ function... Oh, actually, before I do that, I want to see what I have in new donation 1. Okay, so I've got 5 different things in there. Okay, no, 6. I've got 6 different things. I don't think there's any reason really to have those, so I think I'll just delete them. Okay, so I deleted my 6 rows, so I've now got an empty table. So, I'm now going to run... @ calc function calc. Input an ID number 12121. Okay, no data found. Okay, select. Oh, I shouldn't have made that go away. Oh well. Because I have a select there that's bringing things in. I was thinking I was doing an insert. So I'm going to drop new donation 1, drop table. And then I'm going to do the create again. So create new donation 1. As select asterisk from new donation. Okay, and what did I do wrong? Create table. New donation one as select asterisk from new donation. Yes, no, maybe? Yes. Okay, so I've got it back to where I was before.
So I can't just delete to clear it?
Apparently not, because I'm doing a select. I wasn't being good. I'm doing a select there. So I'm looking for data from there, and it came back and told me there was no data because I very effectively got rid of the data. So hopefully now when I do it, it will be happy. Whoops. Okay. This is a matter of, you should know your data. If you look at that, basically, I was doing a select, and I was doing a select. I have to pick one that doesn't have duplicates, and I very carefully picked the one that had duplicates.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1,
right? Right. And so what is it saying? It's saying that an exact the fetch return wasn't the requested number, and so I have a problem because I don't have a cursor going on. Okay, so we're going to try this one more time. That's what I get for doing something that I didn't do at home. Okay, so 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Yay. It was successful.
When did you have that one?
Pardon me?
Did you scroll up a little bit?
Yeah, I've got it, but I've only got it once. So when I do a select of something that I only have once, it worked.
Oh, I see.
When I did a select of something that had multiple records, then it doesn't work because I need a cursor if I'm going to be selecting multiple records and stepping through the records. Okay. Oh, by the way, for those of you, you went to the Meditech thing. And he was talking about SQL programmers at...
Please hire me.
And you were there. At 70,000.
Yeah. I've known that for a while, though.
I thought that was the difference between the price that he gave on programming and SQL programmers was really kind of interesting.
When you look up on reviews and stuff, most of them don't make mid-40s for programming. And they all complained about it on the reviews. But the funny thing is, he's very right in the sense that they're like, you learn a ton of stuff there. And, the experience is unbeatable.
And
the fact that it's impossible, the bad review said it's impossible to get fired. So, that's not really a bad review, actually.
You know what I was told from someone
just
I
remember the recorder is on. If you want me to censor it, I can, but yeah. As we're talking, the recorder is on.
I know someone who said that Meditech's good for a startup. Yeah. You go in there, you're not going to be paid a lot like people in Boston, but you'll be paid decent.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you gain experience for a few years, and then what happens is you go, there's a really big company in Boston that really wants a SQL programmer, and I've been doing this for so long at Meditech. Oh, cool. And then you get that, and you get paid $10,000
to $20,000 extra. Right. But then a lot of people like the idea of if they live in this area, they work in this area, that cuts down a lot of cost.
It does. You're right.
It cuts down a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And Meditech is a friendly environment. And they like working there because they like the environment and they're willing to take a slight decrease in pay to get that. No, a lot of people like to do that.
And plus their benefit package, I had my boyfriend look at it, and his benefit package is ridiculous. He was looking at that, and he's like, that's really similar to mine. And my benefit packages were
$4,000 a year. They're very good, yeah. And so if you look at that kind of stuff, it balances out, and especially if you want to stay in this area. If you're driving into Boston, trust me.
You know 93.
That's right.
Tell them.
Driving into Boston is not something I'd want to do on a daily basis. You take the train, but even then.
You know, it's a pain in the
butt. I mean, my brother happens to live south of Boston and work north of Boston.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, right, exactly. I mean, he does public transportation almost entirely, and he's in the fortunate position of he's worked for this company a long time and everything, so he drops in when he wants to. So, you know, if he wants to go in at 10 o'clock, they could care less. And, I mean, he then stays and works late. But
I would prefer that. It's just less aggravating.
Yeah. So he very frequently goes in, unless he has a meeting, he goes in late and comes home late. And that beats the traffic. And he also takes public transportation a lot.
Yeah, public transportation was because that's what my boyfriend does
for now. Did that guy come in the spring too?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I want to meet him at least before graduating.
Right, right.
To be around here,
I might send him an email.
I have kids, and so if I wanted to leave.
No, right, exactly. It's especially true for people that have kids that you want to try to look somewhat locally because the kid has a concert.
Yeah.
You want to get out to go to the concert and then go back to work. And if you work in Boston, coming home to go to the concert doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, you need to hire a nanny.
The kid wants you at the concert, not the nanny.
I'll never forget my son giving me like the biggest guilt trip
about. Yes. We have all who have had kids have experienced the guilt trip thing. They do it wonderfully, don't they? And for those of us who haven't kids, think back to how many times you laid a guilt trip on your parents. So there we have it. So this works. So one of the reasons why we did this was to play around with moving that number. And so I'm going to say edit funk calc 1. And I'm going to take this number. No, that's the one I want to keep. I'm taking this one.
Yep.
And putting it up there. File, save, file, exit. Now, what do I have to do next?
Make it
to a table. Oh, I've just made a change to my function. What do I have to do?
You just run it because you just moved.
I have to compile it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because right now, the executable version of that is my old one.
Okay.
And I've just made a change to it. So I have to compile it so that I have the current executable. Okay. So I'm going to say @ function calc 1. Compilation errors. Oops. I thought I could do that. It didn't like that there, so I guess that's why I put it down below. And it's not being sent, so I don't want to have it up in the top because I'm only sending VID number. Okay. I thought I remembered moving this before, but maybe what I did was move it down here so that it is not under the return VID number. That may be what I did. No, I moved it down a line.
Would declare work on top of that?
Now, it was working just fine. It works just fine now. So what I did was I did know. I don't believe it would, but we can experiment.
Let's do it.
What I did was left it as return number is and had the return number and then put it down below that, which I think looks a little nice. I remember moving this around. No, it was originally on top of it.
Yeah.
It was originally right under return number is.
I remember, because I could see it.
And so, that's right. So I think that's maybe what I actually meant to do, is say, okay, return number is, and then put it down below. Did you try it with a declare?
Do it now.
Okay.
It didn't like it.
No, I wouldn't.
I tried putting it above the return number is, but it didn't work out so
right.
Well.
Right. No, I would assume that it wouldn't. That I would have known. So this worked fine. And then if I come back in here and say file, exit, and again, I have to come in here and do this.
So because we're doing a select instead of a insert, it's not going to add on to the table?
Yeah, I'm not adding on to the table.
So it's just going to replace the data?
I'm just doing a DBMS slide.
Okay. I was going to say, it looks like the same data as before.
Right. And let me meet. Okay, so in the regular program, if we edit that, that one is called calc function calc.
Right.
Yeah. I have it going out. And after I do the function, I come back and I write a line. Okay? Because I go out, I do the function, I come back, and I put out a line. Okay, so now I'm going to go and run it. And I am saying @ calc function. And this time I'm going to pick... What is it? What's another number? Well, I'll do 3333 again. Okay. And it gave me this new amount 15 is the DBMS line. Okay. See where I said new amount? So this new amount is 15 is the DBMS line. And you can set the verify off if you don't want to see all that stuff up at the top. All that can be taken care of by saying set verify off. And then you won't see that.
I like seeing it.
Okay. If you like seeing it, then don't say set verify off. But now it's showing you the result, and you can see that it ran. Okay, so it went out, it executed the function. The function returned the return donation. And so B return donation was put into B new gold. Because I said, go do the function, send it the ID, and whatever's returned gets assigned to B new gold. Okay? So, and this is a pretty standard way that functions work. When you write a function, you write the place that is to receive the result that is returned, and you assign what is returned to that. Okay, so you put the function over on the right and you say, here's the function, here's what I'm sending to the function. And when the function is complete, the answer will come back and be assigned to be the goal. Okay. So a function is ideal when you are going up and doing a lot of mathematics or something to get a number back. Or you're doing some concatenating to get a word back or a something back. But it's when you're trying to get just one thing back. That's when you use a function. And you have the return in there. Lots of times you can choose whether to use a procedure or a function, but usually if you're just getting one thing back and you want one thing returned, the easiest way to do it is with a function. And then down below, I took this and basically took the return out of the if statements and had one return so that I basically did the return at the end. And there's a lot of people that believe very strongly in doing it this way, so that all the work is up above, but the return statement is just one time right before you leave.
If they replace it with the DBMS?
Pardon me?
That would replace the DBMS?
No, no. That just, at the on the original version, I had the return under the if and the return under the else.
Oh,
if you go back and look at it, I had it two places.
Yeah.
Now I pulled it out, and as I said, there's a lot of style-wise people, and I actually agree, that say it's nice to have it just once at the bottom, right before you leave, you're returning the thing that you did. Now, sometimes that's not possible or not easy because you've gotten a bunch of stuff going on and you're returning from, you know, at different spots, and it's just easy to do that. But lots of people like the idea of the return being the last thing in the function. And so you see the thing going back. If you look up at the function, you can easily see what's being returned. Okay. Okay. So, now you go into more on internal procedures and functions. Okay, so on this one, I've got both a procedure and a function going on. Okay, so, and I put them, made them both internal. So I've got both a procedure and a function. So what I did is, again, all of the function and the procedure are both under the declare. So I'm declaring my variables, and I'm declaring the procedure, and I'm declaring the function. So then I get down to the begin, and again, I like to indent those just because it makes it a little clearer. So I go down and I say, okay, if V quant amount is greater than 500, okay, then set the code to EX and go do calculate new DOM, which is a function. So go do calculate new DOM, send it the V code and the V quant amount, and whatever it returns is going to become the new quant amount. Okay? So I'm going out and doing the function, and whatever is being returned is going to go in as V new quant amount. So I go up to the function, and the function is receiving the two things. The F code is only being received as a varchar2. Putting size in with the functions, interestingly enough, is a problem. So you just put in the type. And actually, I have a sentence about that back with the function thing. If I come back here.
It's the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph on the top. For more on procedures and functions. There's one significant rule that we can...
Okay, on the which line is it?
Go to...
More on... Okay, I thought it was back on the other one.
Fourth,
okay. Yep. There's one significant rule that we need to be aware of. When I describe F code and F quant amount, I give them a type and not a length. The constraint of a length is not allowed in this definition area within a function. Okay. So you only put in the type. So I defined it as varchar2. Okay. So I've said varchar2 and number. And then the return number is going to be this, and it let me get away with the at sign type. Okay, so that it let me get away with, interestingly enough. Okay.
Yep.
So I, you know, huh?
Percent sign type.
Right. What did I say? At sign? Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't do special characters. Okay. So let me get away with that. So the return number, so what's going to be returned is F nu quantum amount. Okay, then I say begin, and I say if the code equals EX, which it was from what we sent, then take the quantum amount, multiply it by 1.3, and put it into F nu quantum amount. Finish all that off, and then I return F nu quantum amount. So, I've now returned that, and that is being stored as V, yeah, I'm losing my voice, V nu quantum amount. Okay, so F nu quantum amount is now being stored as V nu quantum amount, and I basically use these Fps and Vs to kind of remind me where it is. The F is in the function, the P is in the procedure, etc. So I go through this, and then I come down, and I say, okay, now at the very bottom, go do add Dawn process, and send it the VID number, the V drive number, and the V new quantum amount. It receives all three of those and does an insert. Okay, so it's received them all, and now it does the insert up in the procedure, and it goes in and does it. Now, did I have to use either a procedure or a function for this? Of course not. Okay, I could have just written the regular program and done the insert in the regular program and done the calculation in the regular program. There was no need for a function or no need for a procedure, and there never is. I mean, functions and procedures are tools you can use, but I'm not thinking of any place where I definitely have to have one of those. It's just that, again, if you have something that is repeatedly done in a lot of programs, then it's nice to have an external procedure or an external function. And you just call it in, as opposed to rewriting the code.
So it's just you're just adding a new, essentially you're adding a new row with the new ID and such?
Yes. I'm adding a new row with whatever ID they put in.
New donation.
Because up at the top I had them put in an ID, a drive number, and an amount. Yeah. And then I went and played around with it. Okay, so if the amount was greater than 500, basically EX... As far as when I did this, EX I thought of as excellent, VG was very good, okay, and no good.
And you're not replacing a new row, or you're not replacing an old row. You're just doing
an insert.
So you have to watch out.
If I was replacing, I'd do an update, but I'm just doing an insert. So yes, if there was keys defined,
you'd do an update.
But I don't think there were keys defined. If I look at this is new donation, and if I look at new donation, DESC new donation, there's nothing that says not null there.
No.
And so there's no keys defined.
So
that means I can add in as much as I want. Okay? I mean, obviously, we've talked about it before, the key is either ID number, drive number, and cont date, or depending on what you wanted, ID number and cont date. But you definitely needed some kind of a key. So if you were actually doing it with a key, that's the way it would be written. So, questions? And the other one, I have this reasonably strange thing, but again, it does processing. So, and this one uses a cursor. So I have a file that I created, okay, and it's called TestPRFN. And it's got field 1, field 2, field 3, field 4. Okay, I obviously was feeling very uncreative. So I have field 1, field 2, field 3, field 4. Okay, and I can throw something into those. So, then I came down. And, okay, tell me what's happening here.
You got the declarations on the top, and then there, and you made a you have a cursor, which is select from test PRFN. I'm guessing that's the name of that. Yep, that table or update.
Okay, so I now have. That means that I can have more than one record. I can have multiple records.
Okay.
And again, as soon as I put in a cursor, my select becomes part of the cursor. And my fetch is the thing that lets me go through the cursor one record at a time. So if I'm only getting one record, I use a select. If I'm getting multiple records, I gotta have a cursor, and I put the select within the cursor, and that gets me the multiple records sitting in the cursor. And then I use the fetch to allow me to step through the cursor one record at a time. Yes, no, maybe? Does everybody understand that concept? If there's only one record, so what? If the select is only one record and only one record gets in the cursor, then I do the first fetch, and when I go back, the found is not going to be true, and so I won't do any more records.
Okay.
But if I am setting up a cursor, I'm pretty much definitely going to be setting up a loop, because what I want to do is loop through the cursor until I don't find anything anymore. So while I find another record, I'm going to keep going through the cursor. And again, style-wise, I like the fetch right above the loop, and then the fetch for records two through whatever as the last thing in the loop right before I go back and check and see if it's found. So style-wise, I like the initializing fetch and then the fetch at the bottom. Just like when I'm doing a read of a file, I like the initializing read and the read at the bottom. I just think that's a good style. Okay. So, I've declared all of the variables so that I am selecting asterisks from TestPRFN to for update. Okay, so when I do the fetch, I am moving all of the fields that are coming in. I'm putting the data up here. So whatever record I just fetched, the data is going to be in B field 1, B field 2, under the declare. Yeah.
So for update helps you with that, or am I losing it?
For update is because I want to do an update, and what it does is put a hold on the records so that nobody else can mess with it while I'm in the process of updating it.
Okay, so while you're running this, if someone ran the same thing, okay, it would stop them from
right.
Blocking.
Or if they did something where they had an update of that record too, I've basically said, mine.
<All right.
laughs> Leave it alone.
Awesome.
Okay. You actually did. You dropped the pin down
right
the hole.
Down the
not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And the update, when you say that, you put down here the update we're current of, which means whatever the current one that's just been fetched, and then your processing is the one that is going to be updated. Okay, good. Okay, so I'm fetching the data in, and then I said, while the cursor is found, loop. Okay, so now what am I doing next?
You got the total is being assigned the, is that the procedure, calc, or is that a function?
It's a function.
It's a function.
Function? Okay, calc num. The function calc num is bringing in
B field 1 and field 3 to...
Yeah, usually you can tell because a function is going to be, the result is going to be assigned to something, where down here I'm just saying go do the procedure. You know, a function has a built-in return, and so when I do the function, I have to have a place for the return to put something. When I do a procedure, I am not necessarily bringing any data back. I may just be doing the procedure.
Just working with the data in the procedure.
That's right. Okay?
Okay.
So, I'm saying here, first, go do calc num and send it field 1 and field 3. And if you look at field 1 and field 3, they're two numeric fields. So I'm sending field 1 and field 3 up there, and I'm saying field 3 minus field 1 is going to be field total.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, right. This is a whatever.
Yep.
Field 3 happens to be a 5-digit number, and field 1 happens to be, I think it's a 3-digit number.
Okay.
So I'm going ahead and doing the subtraction, and I think I said at the top, any resemblance to anything that I'd actually ever want to do is not here. I'm just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
So I went to the function. I sent it field 1 and field 3. I told it the return number is field tote. I did the calculation, and I returned F field tote.
And brought back.
Okay. So F field tote is now, I've got it. So now I said, okay, change, I want to do change field 4. And change field 4 is the name of the procedure. Okay. So I'm saying, go do change field 4, send it that tote that I just got back from the function, and send it V field 4. Okay, so V field 4 is somebody's name, I believe.
Okay.
If you go up to the top, okay, V field 4 is a name. Okay. So I am saying, go to there, send the total that you just got back, and V field 4. So I go to the procedure, and I've got it set up so it's receiving those. And then I said, if P field tote, okay, which is the total that I was just sent, is greater than 30,000, and the length of P field 4 is less than 8, then P field 4 is now going to have an asterisk around the name. Okay. So I have now got an asterisk around the name.
Really quick question.
Yep.
The in and the in out, unless I probably covered this last time. What?
In means it receives, in out means it receives and sends back. Yeah.
So the length is less than 8. So basically, it's checking how many characters there.
It's what?
How many total characters are in the field?
That's right. That's what length is looking at. And so if the length is less than 8, I decided to put asterisks around the name. And if it's not less than 8, then I didn't put asterisks around. Okay. So I am basically going in and changing field 4. And so then I come back and I say, okay, now update and set field 4 equal to V field 4 for the current record, and then put out the information. And you can see that Susan and Linda both got asterisks on them, because they met the criteria, which was the total had to be greater than 30,000 and the length had to be less than 8. So Lawrence didn't have a length less than 8, but he was greater than 30,000, so he didn't get asterisks. And John and Anne were not greater than 30,000, so they didn't get asterisks. Okay. So basically, again, those are two procedures and two functions. And when I did the update, I put out a DBMS to show, and I updated Field 4, and so it has been changed. Okay. So that just basically goes through and shows you procedures and functions. Okay. Now, last Thursday, a week ago, and I hope I can find it.